and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and, if we're lucky, give us a glimpse into some aspect of their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week we'll be hearing from two women, Jim Wassner from Flock of Dimes and Y-Oak, and then we'll hear from Lucy Dacus. But before we get into everything, I want to take a moment and let you know that you'll be hearing a lot of songs in this episode, but no full songs, which can be frustrating. But we here at Team This Song, we've got you covered. Just head over to the page for this episode. You can find it at KUTX.org, and you'll see that we've made a Spotify playlist that has all the songs referenced in this episode, so you can hear all the songs all the way through. Okay, so let's get started with Jen Wassner. She's half of the Baltimore band Y-Oak, and she just recently released her first solo record under the name Flock of Dimes. It's called If You See Me, Say Yes. And in this new work, she explores this really expansive musical palette, like lots of guitar and lots of electronic instrumentation. And it's definitely more pop-oriented than Y-Oak, like sonically, and more personally open, lyrically. We've been loving her song Semaphore here at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, and we got really lucky Jen Wassner-wise here at the station. I mean, she came in August with Y-Oak to play in Studio 1A, our lovely live performance space here at KUTX. And then she returned in November with Flock of Dimes. And after that performance, I got to sit down with her and talk about a song that she heard when she was young. But it still inspires her now as both an artist and a woman. So here she is, Jen Wassner.
You wanted me to talk about one of my most transformational song experiences?
Yeah, totally.
Well, it's actually appropriate that you asked when you did, because I've actually been playing one of those songs every night as an encore for this tour that we've been doing. And that song is Amelia by Joni Mitchell. It's a beautiful record. It's one of my favorites, and this song is, it just absolutely haunts me.
I was driving across the burning desert when I spotted six jet planes leaving six white vapor trails across the bleak terrain.
The reason why this song gets me so much is because Joni Mitchell is one of the only artists that I've found that I relate to on the level of being an artist and also being a woman. And so in it, she's talking about her dreams, her aspirations, and the sacrifices that I think she's had to make in her life to achieve them. It's an incredibly heartbreaking song. It's also very beautiful. It does the thing where it both comforts and terrifies me at the same time, because I feel some solace in knowing that my experience, the ways that I feel, is somewhat universal, but it doesn't end in a happy place.
I love the idea of like it's both like gives you solace and terrifies you at the same time. I don't know why I love that, but just because that, I mean, that's a good song.
That can
be that complex.
Oh yeah, that is, yeah. She's the master of that, man. That is a true sign of greatness, I think, to have that many layers and folds and facets going on, and she does it in a way that's so universal and so specifically personal too. It's just a real mastery of that craft. There's a verse towards the end of the song where she says, maybe I've never really loved, I guess that is the truth, I've spent my whole life in clouds at icy altitudes.
Maybe I've never really loved, I guess that is the truth, I've spent my whole life in clouds at icy altitude.
And then the verse before that, she talks about Amelia Earhart, and she says, you know, like me, she had a dream to fly. And of course she's, you know, lost forever. And it's the most like beautiful metaphor, the image of like this solo, this like woman with this crazy dream, like in like rocketing through the sky by herself into some unknown place. And you know, I think being, not to say that what I do is anywhere near as risky or as courageous, but there is a certain aspect of choosing to live a life this way that, you know, you're around people all the time, but it can be very, very lonely. It has affected many of my relationships, if not all of them, not just romantic ones, but otherwise. There's a certain detachment from the people in your lives who move on and do these like normal person things. You know, they establish a certain sense of stability, and you know, I yearn for that stability every day, but at the same time, I don't know what else I would be doing if I wasn't doing this. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. And also, you know, there is that something, that yearning that she mentions, that dream, that need to do something else with my life. So it's just kind of, the song to me is like the perfect encapsulation of like learning how to live with that reality, but also accepting that there's an incredible amount of loneliness and sacrifice that comes with making that choice.
A ghost of aviation, she was swallowed by the sky or by the sea. Like me, she had a dream to fly. Like Icarus ascending on beautiful, foolish arms. Just a false alarm.
You've spoken a lot about how lyrically the song really speaks to you, but is there something, you know, in that kind of pre-verbal music sphere about the way the song sounds? Like, I mean, part of it is that it sounds like it's simple. It has like a simple tonal.
It's very simple. Yeah, it's spare. It's really just her guitar, her voice, and some beautiful, I think, pedal steel or lap steel. It's very straightforwardly presented. But it is also, I think this is another thing that she does so well across the board, is you don't realize how complex it is musically until you really sit down and try and take it apart, because her songs have so much immediacy and they're so hooky and they're like so pleasant and easy to listen to that it's easy to lose sight of how complex they actually are. She's incredibly sophisticated musical brain. And you don't realize, like, her songs sound so pretty and poppy and catchy a lot of the time that you would never know until you sit down and take them apart, like how much is actually going on there. But, you know, hearing someone like Joni Mitchell when I was young, I think was super formative for me, because it's one of those things you don't know that you're missing it until you all of a sudden it's there. It never occurred to me that all the music that I listened to, all of my musical influences to that point were all dudes. It was just like, this is the world. These are the songs that I like. And it took hearing her music for me to realize, like, oh, my God, like, it dawned on me in that moment, like, oh, all these people are men and there are no female voices in my music collection. And why is that? And what is happening? And like, it was, you know, that moment of realizing that maybe I could do that, you know, like that it could be something that I could do. So it's huge, you know, it's a really big deal. And it's amazing to think about the fact that there was a time in my life when that hadn't occurred to me at all.
Well, and I like the idea that the song kind of like, I don't know, you kind of see the connection between like Amelia Earhart inspiring Joni Mitchell, who's inspiring you, who's inspiring other women.
You have to have those people that you look to as proof that it can be done. And inspiration to continue to try. I mean, for every choice that you make in your life, you choose one thing, you have to leave behind other things. And there's always going to be a sadness in that. But for someone like Joni Mitchell, it's very clear that, like, it almost wasn't even a choice. Like, she's so fully gifted, and it's so clear that that's what she was put on this earth to do, that, like, it's, you know, it's an amazing thing to witness. But even she feels that, you know, even she has to struggle with that is really, it's, like I said, it's comforting and terrifying, because no one gets a pass on it.
Come to my door, won't you liven me up with color?
Semaphore from Flock of Dimes, If You See Me, Say Yes. And man, I really relate to that idea that Amelia both comforts and terrorizes her, because I get it. I too have lived the life of a traveling musician, and for years I toured with this band called Asleep at the Wheel, and for a long time I was the only woman on a bus full of men, and I actually wasn't really aware of the gulf between me and my male counterparts until I got pregnant. Like, I wanted to have kids, but I also wanted to continue traveling and playing music, and it was a struggle to convince the people around me that this was something that I could do, that I should do. I mean, luckily I was able to do it for 5 years, but then my kids got bigger and I left the band, and now here I am in Austin trying to make a go at a more normal existence, and it feels really weird because while I was playing music, extending my adolescence indefinitely, like, everyone around me was growing up. And I would never have traded the time that I spent out there on the road, but like she said, the choices that we make, they all have these, like, bittersweet consequences. And I don't know, maybe making your peace with that is one of the journeys of this life. If you dug that interview with Jen Wozner, then please take a minute to head over to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating or a review for this song. Ratings and reviews help us in lots of ways. They help people find us, which is really important. Like, we definitely want as many people as possible to hear these stories. And they help us morale-wise. Like, we here at Team This Song work really hard to make this podcast. And knowing that people dig it, it makes us all feel really, really good. Okay, now on to Lucy Dacus. I first heard about her when we started playing her song, I Don't Want to Be Funny Anymore, here at KUTX. It, like, breaks down a woman's struggle for identity, like, for real. Her record No Burden was released early this year by the Richmond label Egg Hunt, and then re-released by Matador later this year because it was so good. Lucy was at the Austin City Limits Festival, and she sat down backstage with Jack Anderson to tell him about a couple of songs that showed her, well, they showed her what a song can do. So here she is, Lucy Dacus.
I should probably talk about Just Like Heaven by The Cure, because that song tends to haunt me, like, at all my important moments of my life. In a good way, it's a friendly ghost.
Show me how you do that trick. The one that makes me scream, she said. The one that makes me laugh, she said. Threw her arms around my neck. Show me how you do it. And I promise you, I promise that I'll run away with you. I'll run away with you.
The lyrics are awesome. It's so The Cure to have this kind of upbeat but sad song. I just love Robert Smith's voice too. Like, maybe because that song means a lot to me, like, all their music touches me in a really core sort of way. Like, just hearing his voice, I actually got to see them play at Lollapalooza and basically laughed my pants off. I was so happy during that show.
When did you first hear that?
I first heard it in eighth grade because I had my first boyfriend and he liked, like, Slayer and, like, death metal. But he also liked The Cure, and that was, like, the one band that he liked that I could get on board with.
Okay.
And he was like, this is our song. So that's how it, like, first became significant to me.
You who, soft and only. You who, lost and lonely. You who, strange as angels. Dancing in the deepest oceans. Twisting in the water. You're just like
I guess my craziest story about just like heaven is that I was in a band kind of in high school and we played it, and everyone I had ever been romantically involved with or would be involved with for like the next year of my life, like 8 dudes were like in the front row singing along. So I'm like, this song is like, it's haunted with some weird like mojo going on in it. And it's like come on the radio at certain times of my life, like my graduation day, like in high school, it just came up on the radio. And who plays that song on the radio anyways? And yeah, it's like we'll come on during vacations, or I'll be abroad and it'll like be in someone's car passing me when I'm really happy. And so that song kind of showed me what music can do to like tie moments of your life together, like how songs become emblems and symbols for other parts of your life. Like they take on the time and place that you heard them, basically. Mm. And so that hasn't necessarily factored into my music directly, but it has factored into my mentality about what music is capable of doing. I Would Die For You is another song I could easily talk about for this interview.
Feel free, yeah.
I do a cover of that with my friend Hayden Arp, originally with my friend Adam Watkins, like duet style. And those lyrics are insane. Like, I grew up in a Christian household too, so it's like, oh, this is awesome music, and they're talking about God, but in a cooler way than all the other music about God that I ever encounter. I guess I've always resonated with people who care about the content of their work, like do care about the lyrics and are asking for something from you, like either a rise in your emotions or understanding of their emotions, which leads to understanding of your own emotions, like people that are kind of approaching the topics that we don't want to look at ourselves. Yeah, I think that that has come naturally to me because of the people that I used to listen to.
So you said you used to listen to. Do you ever still
listen? Oh, I still listen. We listened to The Cure like in the van yesterday, and still listen to Prince for sure.
I don't want to be funny anymore. I don't want to be funny anymore. Lately I've been feeling like the odd man out. I heard my friends saying things I don't mean out loud.
And this is I Don't Want to Be Funny Anymore by Lucy Dacus. And wait, hold. What? Did she just say that I Would Die For You was about God? Like, I had never, ever thought about that. Like, ever, ever. I mean, like, I always thought Prince was talking about himself. I'm not a woman. I'm not a man. I am something you will never understand. But yeah, I Googled the song and I looked at the lyrics and I read some articles about that song and God. And like, I see that it is probably written from the perspective of a Christian God. Whoa. Thanks, Lucy. Lucy's on the cover of Magnet magazine this month. You should totally check it out. And you can also download her song Strange Torpedo as part of our Song of the Day podcast. I'll put links to both of those on the page for this episode. And I'll also post the Studio 1A sessions for both Flock of Dimes and Y Oak. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen, with help from Peter Babb, Jackie Fuller, and Kelly Seal. The interview with Jen Wozner was recorded by me, and the interview with Lucy Dacus was recorded by Jack Anderson. He also did the actual interview, and you can catch him on the air every Saturday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account. Does a killer job. Check it out. Our handle is at ThisSongKTX. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is at ThisSongKTX. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. We'll be right back.